Well, there are certain words that we tend to hear at Christmas time that we maybe don't hear as much at different times throughout the year. And one of those words is the word hope. And today I want us to focus on that word hope and what it means if you're a Christian, if you're a believer in Christ, what does it mean to have hope in Christ? Today, if you are a believer, I pray that you would be reminded again of what it means to have hope in Christ. And today, if you are not a believer, if you're not a follower of Christ and you're here, I pray that today would be the day that you come to know what it means to have hope in this one called Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Let's first define that word hope. Webster defines it this way. It says, a feeling that what is wanted will happen. Let me say that again. A feeling that what is wanted will happen. Or a desire accompanied by expectation. Now, in our day, we may use that word in that way at times, but most often we don't hear it used that way. For example, you may hear someone say, you know, I just bought a lottery ticket and I sure hope I win the lottery. I know none of you did that, but maybe people say that. Or they may say, you know, I hope it doesn't rain on my picnic. And when they use hope in that way, it is not a sure thing, is it? It's not a definite expectation of something that will definitely happen. There's some uncertainty, right, with that. It's more of what we would call wishful thinking when we hear that word hope. Well, how does the Bible use the word hope? I want to look at that today. First off, the Bible does use it in that way in which the world often uses it as well, more of a wishful thinking kind of way. The Apostle Paul says, he's writing to the Romans, and he says, hey guys, I'm headed to Spain, and I hope to see you guys on the way. Now, did Paul know for certain that he would see them? No. He knew if it was God's will, he would get to see them. So Paul uses the word hope in that way. But also in the Bible, we find this word hope the way it's defined here by Webster, a feeling that what is wanted will happen. There's a certainty to it, a surety to it. And I want to look at that in this way this morning. And I'd like to use that word hope, the four letters, H-O-P-E, to help us see that this morning. The first letter, H, and H will stand for heaven. How many of you have ever noticed as we sing the Christmas carols, how many of them speak of heaven in the Christmas carols? You ever wonder why that is? Because certainly Christmas is really supposed to be all about the birth of Christ. But when you think about it, it's so much more than just the birth of Christ, isn't it? Because that is really the beginning of the first coming of Christ. And not only would Christ be born, but he would eventually go to a cross. And he would die and he would rise again so that now heaven would be blown wide open for all who would believe. And so this is what we think about when we sing the Christmas carols. So for the Christian, our hope is rooted in the life to come. That's what our hope is rooted in. And throughout the Bible, we see phrases like this, the hope of glory or the hope of his return. Or the hope of seeing him face to face. What is all that about? It's about a hope of something that is going to happen in the future. It's about our eternal destination of being in heaven and seeing the Lord face to face. And so there is this hope that we ought to have. And how does all this happen? How do we have the hope of heaven? Well, the Bible tells us how. If you have a Bible, open to Titus chapter 3. Titus 3, 3 through 7. Let's look at that. The Apostle Paul, writing to Titus, says, at one time, we too were foolish, disobedient, deceived, and enslaved by all kinds of passions and pleasures. We lived in malice and envy, being hated and hating one another. But when the kindness and love of God our Savior appeared, he saved us, not because of righteous things we had done, but because of his mercy. He saved us through the washing of rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us generously through Jesus Christ, our Savior, so that having been justified by his grace, we might become heirs, having the hope of eternal life. Well, what is that passage all about? It's all about salvation. Paul uses that word save there, what it means to be saved. And so Paul says, you know what, at one time we were disobedient, we were selfish. For Paul, as you many of you know, at one time he was a persecutor of the church. He hated Christians. He would grab them and drag them off to prison. When someone was being stoned for their faith, Paul would stand on the sidelines and say, hey, way to go, that's it. Kill the Christian. For us, maybe we could say, you know, we weren't that violent as Paul. Maybe we were even peace-loving hippies back in the day. But we were all disobedient. We were all selfish. We were all sinful. And because of that, we all deserve God's wrath. We all deserve his condemnation. But, I love that word, but. What does Paul say? But when the kindness and love of God our Savior appeared. For Paul, it was on that Damascus road when he met the Lord. How about you? When did it happen for you? Maybe it was in a setting like this, in a church service where you heard the gospel and you opened up your heart to Christ. Maybe you were driving down the road, listening to the radio, you heard the gospel. And the Holy Spirit met you in that moment. Maybe you were just sitting at your kitchen table with your Bible, and there the Holy Spirit visited you, and you realized then that though you deserved wrath and condemnation, it was the love and the kindness of God that you could be forgiven. The Bible says it was the kindness of God that led us to repentance and putting our faith in Jesus Christ. And once we repent and turn to Christ, what happens? The Bible says we're washed, we're cleansed, we're forgiven. Why are we forgiven? Because we're such good little doobies, right? Because we were once on the naughty list and now we're doing good things, so we're on the nice list, right? Is that what God says? Because you started doing good things, I showed you mercy and forgiveness? No. Paul says, not because of righteous things we have done. That phrase needs to be rooted, just flowing through our veins. Not because of righteous things I have done. Because the message of the world is that you can be saved through the righteous things you have done. But that is not the gospel message, is it? The gospel message is it's all about faith in Jesus Christ. Faith in what he did. And when we have faith in him, what's the result? The Bible says we're justified. We're declared righteous. You're in a good standing forever before God if you've placed your faith in Jesus Christ. And if you're in that standing, in that place, then you know what? You can lay your head on your pillow tonight with hope. You can rise the next morning, tomorrow morning, get up and you can say, I have hope in Christ. Because I'm forgiven. I belong to Jesus. Let me ask you, do you have this hope today? Do you have this assurance that if within the next 2 minutes you were to breathe your last breath, that you would be ushered into the presence of the Lord? Do you have that certain expectation? Do you have that hope in your heart today? If you have that hope, then praise God that you have that hope. If you do not have that hope today, then let me tell you what you need to do. You need to do what the Apostle Paul did. Turn to Jesus. He turned to Christ. What many people here have done, they've turned to Jesus Christ. The Bible says this, if we confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord, which means what? It means this. I am a sinner. I need a Savior. I've been Lord of my life. Jesus, you need to be Lord of my life. And Jesus, I believe that you died for my sins, that you rose again, If we confess that with our mouth and believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead, the Bible says you will be saved. That's how salvation comes, through the message of the gospel, through the message of Christ. So this morning, if you do not have hope in Christ, then turn to Jesus and believe in Jesus. The Bible says whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. If you're sitting here this morning, you're part of that whoever. If you don't know him, then call out to him for mercy, for salvation, for forgiveness. And I guarantee you this, when you turn to Jesus Christ, he will fill you with an incredible hope of heaven. The second letter is O. And O will stand for, oh boy, oh boy. One of the phrases that I love to hear Andy say, besides hallelujah, is, are you with me, Andy? It is, oh boy, oh boy. Do you like saying that? And if you have ever been around Andy when he said that, you know that there is an incredible excitement and joy in his heart. And if you don't smile when he says, oh boy, you better check your pulse, because I don't think you're alive. It's a precious thing to hear that. All right, settle down. But do you know what? The Bible connects joy with hope. Certainly we can look at them in different ways and separate them, but when the Bible speaks of it, there's a real close connection that we need to keep in mind. Look at what Romans chapter 12, verse 12 says. Romans 12, 12 says this. It says, be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. There are three quick commands. Boom, boom, boom. And the Lord wants us to have certain attitudes as we're in these conditions. In other words, are you in a place of prayer? Are you praying about something? Then what does God want you to do? Be faithful in prayer. Don't give up praying. You say, I've been praying for this person for 20 years that they've come to the Lord. You know what? I'm done. I'm just going to quit. No, be faithful in prayer. Jesus said we ought to pray and not faint. Pray and don't give up. That's what that verse says. It also says, are you in affliction? Are you going through any suffering in your life? What should you do? Throw in the towel? No, be patient. Be willing to suffer long through whatever ordeal you are in until God finally says it's over. Be patient in the midst of your affliction. But it begins by saying, be joyful in hope. Do you have the hope of the Lord? Then be joyful in that hope. In other words, don't go around moping about heaven. You know, like, yeah, don't talk to me about heaven. You know, that's down the road sometime, and I'll worry about heaven when I get there. I got a lot of burdens. I got a lot of trials right now I'm going to focus on. Don't even talk to me about heaven. No. When you hear the word heaven, you ought to say, oh boy, oh boy. That's what the New Testament teaches. Be joyful in your hope. Rejoice in your hope. One of the things that bugs me about the prosperity gospel, among many things that bug me about that, but one of the things that bugs me is that there is such an emphasis on what you can gain in this life that what often happens is a couple of things. Number one is those who aren't rich feel that they're somehow being disobedient to God. But secondly, is that there's so much emphasis that it tends to minimize the glory and the beauty and the wonder of heaven. Because why? We think we're just so consumed with the stuff of this earth. You know, let's just focus on that. And heaven's cool, but you know what? That's as if heaven is somehow a letdown. Really? If that's so, then why is the New Testament plastered with scriptures about heaven? About your home, about rejoicing in your hope. Why does Jesus in his teachings so often contrast this life with the life to come? For example, don't store up for yourselves treasure on earth where moth and rust and all those things can destroy. But what? Store up for yourselves treasures where in heaven. They'll last forever. Focus on heaven. This is the mindset of Christ, and he wants us to have that same mindset as well. The glory and beauty and joy of heaven should make us, you know, just through the pump fist, you know, do the raise the roof, you know, dance with delight. That's what it ought to do if we're in Christ. Why? Because we know that this life is temporary. Heaven is forever. The struggles we have now with sin, the battles we go through with Satan and his demons, they're temporary because we know one day those battles will not exist in heaven. And so we use hope as a catalyst for living the Christian life. So I ask you today, is there joy? Is there joy in your hope? Third letter is the letter P, which will stand for perseverance. Let me ask you, what is it that gets you through the tough times of life? What helps you to press on when you become weary? What causes you to run the race when you feel like you can't even take another step? The Bible says that hope is something that can carry you through the difficult seasons of life. Hope is something not abstract, but it is a reality. Hope can help you through the darkest valleys of your life. We see this again in Scripture, Romans chapter 5. Let's look at that. Romans 5, 1 through 5. Paul says, therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. And we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. But listen to what he goes on to say. And not only so, but we also rejoice in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance. Perseverance, character, and character, hope. And hope does not disappoint us, because God has poured out his love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit whom he has given us. Hope can help you endure. Hope can get you through those difficult seasons of your life. And whenever sufferings have come into our lives and trials come in, Paul says here, it is the Holy Spirit. It's going to help you through those things. He's called our counselor, our comforter, our helper. Even when we don't even know what to pray, right? Romans 8 talks about the Spirit interceding with groans that we can't even express. The Spirit works in us, again, a reminder of the hope that we have in Christ. The Spirit reminds us of the future that is awaiting us in glory. But not only that, the Holy Spirit helps us in the here and now. How so? Because the Holy Spirit is with us. Remember what John read this morning in the scripture reading when the angel came to Joseph in the dream and he talked about the names of Christ, and he said, you will call Jesus, his name Jesus, because why? He will save his people from their sins. And then the angel went on to say this, and you'll call him Emmanuel, which means what? God with us. And in that context, certainly it's about the incarnation of Christ, how Jesus was God in the flesh and he dwelt among man for that time of earthly life. But also it means that God is with us today. How so? Remember what Jesus said to his disciples? He said, I'm going away. I'm not going to leave you as orphans. I'm going to send someone to you. I'm going to send the Holy Spirit, another counselor, another comforter to be with you. And so today, if you're in Christ, the Holy Spirit is there with you and in you to help you through the trials of life. How many have ever heard that song by Mandisa? He is with you. That's a beautiful song. If you've never heard it, Google it or whatever, YouTube it, whatever you do there. Listen to it. It's all about different circumstances that we can be in life. And know this, no matter how dark life may seem for you as a Christian, know this, God is with you through it. He's with you through it. And please remember that. And today, perhaps, you may be in a difficult place. I don't know where each of you are at today. If you're not in a difficult place, then likely down the road, there will be a day or a time when there is a difficult day that will come because we live in a fallen world. But when those difficulties come, how will you handle it? Will you handle it with a sense of hope or despair? How will you handle it? Fourth letter is E, which will stand for expectation. And this is really what hope is all about. In our second definition from Webster, it was a desire accompanied by expectation. And Christmas is so much about hope, especially for the little ones, right? And if you've got little ones, if you're a parent, then you know what I'm talking about, right? There's an expectation, an eager expectation come Christmas morning, right? And how many of you have ever been woken up at like 3 in the morning, right? And your kid gets up and says, hey, it's Christmas morning. And you look at the clock and say, it's 3 o'clock, right? Go back to bed. You know, maybe 5 or 6, maybe I'll get up then, but 3 o'clock is a little too early. Why? There is such an eager expectation within the mind of a young child. Why? Because they know that Christmas is coming. There's going to be something that awaits them under the tree, and unless they've snooped, they don't know what it is, right? They know there's something, they know there's probably a gift for them, but they're not really sure exactly what it is. How much is that like us who are in Christ? Because we have received a gift, right? The gift of salvation. And we know glimpses of it, don't we? We read about Revelation 21, 22, there it is, streets of gold, no more tears. You know, we get a good idea, and we possess this gift. If you're in Christ, you have eternal life right now. You have this gift. But it really won't be fully opened or fully experienced until when? Until we get there, right? Until we get to heaven. 1 Corinthians 13 says what? Now we know in part, but then we're going to know fully. We're going to know Christ fully in all his glory. In all his beauty. And so until that day of heaven, we as believers ought to have this eager expectation of that day to come. Listen to what the Apostle Paul says in Romans chapter 8, our final scripture for today, verses 23 through 25. Paul says, not only so, but we ourselves who have the first fruits of the Spirit groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for our adoption as sons, the redemption of our bodies. For in this hope we were saved. But hope that is seen is no hope at all. Who hopes for what he already has? But if we hope for what we do not yet have, we wait for it patiently. Paul says, if you are in Christ and you've been adopted by God, you've been adopted into his family, you know that you belong to him. And as we continue in 1 John down the road, we'll see that beautiful verse by John that says, you know, behold, what manner the love that the Father has for us, that we should be called children of God. And we'll get into just how sweet it is to be called a child of God. And so we've been adopted, but yet we're waiting for something. What are we waiting for? We're waiting to get rid of these old bodies that are wearing out, right? And someday at the return of Christ, the Bible says we will receive resurrection bodies. And so there's this eager expectation of that heaven to come, that new body, glory with Christ. And so until that day, we are to have this incredible, eager expectation. Hope is a beautiful thing. But one thing to keep in mind is this, and that is hope is temporary. What do I mean? I mean, when we reach glory, when we get to heaven, will we have a need of hope? No. Why? As Paul says, who hopes for what he already has? Right? Hope has everything to do with what's going to come in the future, what's ahead, what's guaranteed. When we arrive, there'll be love, there'll be joy. But I don't know if we'll even use the word hope in our vocabulary in heaven. So let me ask you today, again, do you have this certain hope? Is your hope placed in Christ alone? Or is it placed in your plans and your dreams, your desires? You know, we live in a world that has a lot of hopes, doesn't it? How many people in the world are hoping for a better job or maybe a better home or a better house or a better relationship or a better vacation? How many people have those hopes? A lot of people, you talk to people, they have those, quote, hopes. They want those things to happen in their lives. But do you know what? If Jesus Christ were to come back today, all those human hopes would come to nothing. They would never, ever be fulfilled. And so today, my prayer is that each of you would have the hope of Christ, because that is the one hope that will last forever. That is the one hope that is a certainty when Christ returns. Do you have that hope today in Christ? If you say, I'm not sure, and you just need to talk more, then please talk with me on the way out today and say, just, I need to know more about this Jesus and having hope, because all of my hopes are wrapped up in the things of this earth. What greater gift to receive this Christmas than the eternal gift of salvation? Embracing Christ as your Lord and Savior, embracing the one who is our true hope. Let's pray. Father, we thank you today for your word. Thank you so much for the Apostle Paul and the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, who can still speak to our hearts today about truth and about life, about joy and about hope, about suffering, about trials, about all the things that we endure. And Father, I pray today that each and every person here today would truly know Christ as Lord and Savior, that they would have bowed their knee to the Lord Jesus, who is Lord of creation, who is creator and sustainer of all things, who left glory, wrapped himself in flesh, and went to a cruel cross and was beaten and crucified, punished in our place, taking the wrath for us so that we could be forgiven and cleansed. God, I pray that the gospel would reach hearts and minds today, that people would leave here with an incredible hope, that no matter what happens in this life, no matter how hard, no matter how tragic things get, we know that we have hope in Jesus. We know heaven is our ultimate home. Help us, God, to be people who have our hearts and minds set upon things that are above, where Christ is seated, and not on things of this earth, O Lord. Father, we thank you today for your grace that makes all this possible. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.